Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and I am delighted to announce that our topic today is Empowered Women, Be Visible, Be Valuable, and Be Vocal. And our lovely leading lady today is Patty Grimm, who is the president. She's the author. She's a speaker. She's a trainer. Oh, my gosh. And she's a coach of Advantage Training Limited. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of information, and then we'll welcome Patty. Patty is the author of Quiet Women Never Change History, Be Strong, Stand Up, Stand Out. Patty is the president of Advantage Performance and Training Limited, an executive coaching and leadership development company that coaches clients in subjects such as change leadership, leadership development, sales excellence, how to create a strong vision. And Patty focuses her coaching sessions to help female executives discover who they are. So Patty, welcome as our leading lady, and say hello to all of our listeners.
Thanks, Michelle, and hi, everybody that's listening today. I'm excited to be here. I was laughing because this morning I had my radio show, and I'm talking to Michelle about being on my show sometime in the future. So it's kind of
funny that
our paths keep crossing.
Exactly, and I'm laughing because I'm going, man, the pressure of somebody else that does a radio show, and here we are talking, and I'm going, wow, we have to perform and impress today. So I'm going, okay, I hope we're on the right track, because you are a master at this. But you are, and I've been reading your book, and I love your book, and I like the Let's Go Kick Some Glass. And I want to hear more from you on how can we, as professional women, be visible, valuable, and also it's like how can we be vocal. But give us, I mean, how did you kind of come up with the idea of your book? Because I know you came from the banking industry and you had a wonderful leadership track and, you know, history there. But how did you come up with your book idea and what was kind of the inspiration of it?
Well, you know, I've been doing leadership development, sales excellence, all this kind of work, you know, culture change work, for the better part of 25 plus years, and I won't say how many are in the plus plus. And everyone kept telling me I should write a book. I should write a book about leadership. And I kept thinking,
right,
I don't want to be another leadership book on the shelf out there that's, you know, among the 10,000 other leadership books that are in the airports and in every Barnes & Noble and all over Amazon, every place you can go. And actually, I was
right
in banking for a while, but I left banking, and my last corporate career was I worked at Microsoft for 15 years, which is a heavily male-dominated organization. And I left 3 years ago, and I still do consulting for them. In fact, I'm leaving for India in 2 weeks to go work with their enterprise sales teams in the India area. So it's one of those things people kept saying, you need to write a book. And when I left Microsoft, I said, you know what? I have been doing women's events and conferences back into the late, I'd say early 90s, time frame when I was at the bank, and I sponsored our empowerment conference for our women back then. And I would hire and bring in professional speakers. I would pay my staff to come. I would pay the entire, at that time I was in the San Diego division, so I paid my entire division's non-executive staff, so all the part-time, full-time tellers, receptionists. I'd pay them on a Saturday to come in for 4 hours. I'd bus them from all over San Diego all the way down to Mexico and out to Blythe. We'd bus them to some nice location on a Saturday. We'd hire our motivational speaker, and we'd do a bunch of things about self-esteem and awareness and dress. And after doing that a couple of years and hiring these speakers, somebody said, well, why don't you speak? And so I started speaking, and instead of taking that $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 I was going to pay a speaker, I gave it away as gift prizes. And so that kind of started my passion. But when I left Microsoft, I started on this 3-year research study. I said, I'm going to do some real research. I'm going to go interview and put together a survey, which ended up being over 1,850 people between interviews and surveys, responded to my survey about what makes a great woman leader. Is there a difference between a great woman and man leader, which 78% of the people said, yes, there is a difference, which I can talk about. What do successful women leaders do? So what specifically are their success strategies, which is all in the book. And the other part of it was, you know, are the barriers we face as women internal to ourselves, like the fear of getting caught or I'm not good enough or lack of confidence or not helping other women, or are they external, things like sexual harassment and the politics, and we truly don't make as much as men. We're still making 79 cents on a dollar as compared to men who make a full dollar. And our pay's only gone up 1% in the last 10 years. So it will take 179 years for women to reach pay equality doing what we're doing today. So my
and that's
book
crazy.
And my passion
and
is all about what are we going to do, right?
I love that. And it's like, to me, it's not, I mean, that's what I loved about your book, is it's not like, you know, and again, women, I think a lot of it is, you know, not that it's not, you know, there's not issues going on, but a lot of it is in our head where it's like, we can do strategies. We can, you know, do behavior that will help us advance and lead more effectively in business. And that's what I loved about your book, is it's not about hitting the glass ceiling. You're like, go kick some glass. That's what I loved most about your book.
Yeah.
Is how you're like, take action, get it done. It's like, go out there and, you know, be the change you want to see. But, you know, can you share a few of the kind of fundamental insights of your book and what you suggest, especially to our listeners who are professional women and women who are women business owners?
Yeah, well, first let me start off with some really good news for all of us out there that are women leaders and men as well, because what we're finding is, and my research showed, is there is a difference between a great woman leader and a great man leader. But it's more in the in the order of things. When you say what great makes a great man and what great makes a great woman, the top 10 characteristics are kind of similar, but it's the order that's different. The top 5 for women are inspirational, developer of people, strategist, team player, collaborator. The top 5 for women are strategists, much more, you know, strategic thinkers. And what's happening in the workplace now is 50% of our workforce are millennials. Millennials, the research shows, work better for women than men, because what millennials are looking for is a purpose in what they do, which women give them. Somebody that's going to develop them, which women do. Somebody who's going to inspire them, not just delegate to them. Somebody that's going to empower them and let them be the best they can be and give them that frequent feedback. So that's the really good news. Well, there's lots of good news. But that's the really good news, is that the organizations need us. My favorite story from a woman named Deb that's in the book, she was one of the first women to graduate from West Point. And when I asked her about what's the difference between a man and a woman, I mean, she didn't have a glass ceiling. She had a concrete bunker. There were no bathrooms for the women that were acceptable. There were no sleeping quarters. Drill sergeants would train the men and women at the beginning kind of equally, but then they'd give the guys special advantage and the women had to figure it out for themselves. So they had to survive. And her comment was, women see around the corners.
Right? Ooh,
women
like
see around the corners. And what she said, and I related this to an example, you'll see a man in a meeting and he has his agenda and he's going to go from point A to point B, get to his agenda and make a decision whether people agree or not. And several people in the meeting might be completely disengaged. A woman leader in that meeting is going to be leading that meeting, and she's going to be trying to get collaboration and creative ideas of how to make the solution better and not driving to an agenda. And she will notice out of the corner of her eye or something that someone is disengaged or someone seems to be uncomfortable, and she will either say something in a meeting like, Michelle, you seem to have something on your mind. Did you want to share something? Or she'll pull you aside after the meeting and say, I noticed you were really uncomfortable what was going on. And so women see around the corners. So the five things
Patty,
I tell – yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just want to kind of interject, because to me it's like, you know, you hear so many suggestions, so many slices of advice, so many like here's what women should do, you know, and you're in that realm. It's like, and you're in that space. It's like, what do you see as the biggest disadvantage women have and why they're not making – the same thing that men are. I mean, I'm sure there's some fundamental tips that you have based on the research that you did, because that's the question we're all asking. It's like, why aren't women? You know, they're leaning in. It's like they're asking. You know, I hear women all the time that will say, I'm asking, but I get pushback. I'm leaning in and I'm still like ostracized. I'm just really curious what you see. That what's the hurdle? Is it women not, you know, doing and executing the right things? Or is it that just, hey, it's a man's world and we're just not there yet? I'm really curious.
It's not a man's world, and we're going to kick a heck of a lot of ass. Glass.
I like you better now, girl. Go with that. Go with that. I love it.
let me step back a minute, because I will cover the five things I think every woman can do to be empowered. But I want to step back for a minute, and I think the fundamental issue, and this is going to maybe make some moms or some folks think a little bit differently. I think the fundamental issue is I was raised in a middle-class family, the middle child, by a loving mother and father who taught me I could do anything I wanted to. My dad, you know, before I could get my driver's license, I had to learn how to change a tire, change the spark plug, change the oil, and pass my driver's test with a truck with three on the column, which nobody even knows what that is today, right? Where the stick shift, there was only three on the column. There wasn't four on the floor. That's the way we used to talk about the difference. And as much as I was raised as a competitive girl that played competitive tennis from the time I was seven, and I'm still seeing it today, is we're still raising girls to be perfectionists. And what's holding us back is that perfectionism. And so let me give you just a couple of quick examples. If you're watching, I watch, you know, kids play soccer, because my sister's got a couple kids and I watch the kids play soccer. If the boys are playing soccer, it doesn't matter if their shoes match, if their socks match, if their shirt and their shoes don't match, it doesn't matter. Their hair could be sticking up in 15 directions. The boy falls down and everybody laughs and says, oh, come on, Tommy, get up. It's okay. You're not hurt. The girl, same age girl playing soccer, she's got to have the matching outfit. She's got to have her hair in the ponytail with the perfect ribbon that matches the whole team. They've got to be perfect.
You're so right.
And if they fall down, we all go, oh, my gosh, you know, Sally, are you okay? And so what's happening is we're raising our kids in the right direction. Please don't get me wrong. We're raising our brave girls. But I think there's just these little things where we're raising girls to be perfectionists and not brave risk takers. Right. I was always in trouble because I was a terrible tomboy. I mean, I was always in trouble because I tore my dresses, I tore my clothes because I was climbing in trees or going down mountains. I mean, my mom would never dress me in white because I truly was pigpen. And so, you know, it's one of those things that's just a little bit different. But what happens with that perfectionism as we grow older, there's a really cool YouTube video by a woman. I don't remember her name, but the video is called Girls Who Code, like code, IT code. You know, they go in and do coding.
Like coding?
Coding, like developers. And she talks about this as well, is that we have to raise girls that are risk takers, because the perfectionism of being perfect as a little girl playing soccer, when we go older, prevents us from taking that job where there's a job posting you want or a job you want that you're going to go after. And there's 10 characteristics. Research actually says, I'm a research geek, that if the woman has eight or nine of the 10 characteristics, she won't apply because she doesn't think she's ready. It's that old, I'm not good enough. The guy will have four characteristics and he applies. I mean, Sheryl Sandberg even brings up in her book about how she had always this fear of being getting caught, that was she really that good? Or when she went to negotiate salary with Mark Zuckerberg, when she went to Facebook and left Google, she was doubting if she was worth that amount of money that she was going to ask for. So those things like negotiation skills, I do a workshop and a webinar and a whole piece on, you know, play the game by your rules, negotiating skills for women to win, because we don't negotiate well. I mean, we got to think about raising brave girls who are risk takers, that, you know what, if they walk out of the house and their shoes don't match, whatever.
You know, but yeah. Patty, there's another thing, and it's like, I get it, and it's like, it's interesting, because, you know, I interviewed men for quite a few years, and it's like, I asked them, what are women doing that sabotage their success? And what was interesting was so many men said, you know, women are not involved in team sports as much as boys are. And I was like, God, you know, there's so many of those women that get to the higher levels, and they're not team players, even though people will say out there that women are collaborators. And so I'm curious what your thoughts are just kind of on that, because it's like, there are certain women that are great collaborators, right? The team focus, so let's all win, but yet almost at a sacrifice that then when the compliment comes of you did a great job, they'll go, it wasn't me, it was my team. And I'm like, that's not right either.
Yes.
And so
yes.
what's your perspective on that? Because I go, oh, women, it's like we need to be team players, but we need to, you know, kind of be a little kind of like the art of the brag a little bit as well, of when to kind of roll that
absolutely.
Out. What's your, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So a couple things. You triggered something in my mind in that we need to be able to say, I did this, or my team and I did this, because we tend to say my team or not. We have to toot our own horn. We have to toot our own horn. But the other thing that actually still comes into the thing about play is I grew up playing sports. I mean, I grew up playing tennis. I played, you know, I played a number of different softball. I played a whole bunch of different sports growing up. And so when you look at how boys play versus how girls play, when boys play a game, there's a start and a finish and there's a score. And they all work together and they can argue and they can get mad and they can get upset or they can run over each other. And that's all okay in a boys' game when they're playing a sport. There's a start, there's a finish, there's an end game, and there's a score. Somebody wins and somebody loses. When you look at how a lot of girls play, if they're not playing in a sport, they're playing something like playing doll or playing house. Their play is a process where the boys' play is an end result. So the girls' process
a winner
is
maybe or lose.
Playing dolls or playing, and there's no rules. There's no win or lose. There's no end game. You play house until you're tired, and then you go play something else.
That
so even the
so
way we
true.
Play, the kids play is different. So anyway, so all those are things that we can really think about. And then on your point of we just need to be the one of the five things I talk about is the one part about standing out. So my book is around stand up, stand out, know your strengths. That's what I'm going to do in the correct order. The first part is being strong. First principle. To be a powerful woman is one, be strong, which is knowing what your strengths are. And you can do that in a number of ways. The book walks you through a few, but you could go by Strength Finder, any of the books by Marcus Buckingham on Strength Finder. At the end of the book, there's a code. You take a free questionnaire, and it will come back and say, here are your strengths. And then you can also take a DISC, a D-I-S-C, or go online. You can put in personality profiles and take a profile instrument, and it will say your strengths are you're a strategist, you're a communicator, you're an executor, you're a collaborator, whatever those terms are. But figure out what your strengths are and play to your strengths. You can improve your weaknesses to an acceptable level, but if you spend all your time improving your weaknesses, you're only going to improve incrementally. If you spend time improving your strengths, you'll improve at quantum leaps. You know, you can also take a couple of days, and every time you do something that feels strong to you, you feel good about doing it, you're energized when you do it, you find yourself doing something when nobody's watching, that goes in your strength column. On your not strength columns, or your other side, your weaknesses column, or your not your strengths columns, are things that drain you, that you find yourself delaying doing, paperwork, whatever it happens to be, figure out what your strengths are, and then find jobs and careers that fit your strengths. So that's the first principle, know what your strengths are. And I'm sure you've done a ton of these, Myers-Briggs, DISC, Platinum Rule. There's thousands of these instruments out there. And so you've probably done tons
I think so many women go for the personality assessments, and it's like I hear this all the time from women, and curious on your perspective for our listeners, is that they go through those personality assessments. They know what they're good at, what they're maybe not as good at. But I don't see enough women really be strategic, not only about their careers, but it's like where they're going to be strategic about where they want to go. I mean, can you kind of highlight a little bit on that? Because I know you're very strategic.
Yeah.
You know, you're very much about the process and whatnot. And it's like, if you know your strengths, and how can you tap into that when so many women just go, these are my strengths, but it's like they're not being, you know, really forward thinking about where they really want to go. They just kind of like look for open positions or internal opportunities. It's like, what would be some advice you'd give on that? Because I don't see women going for the gusto as much as they should.
Yeah, some of them falls into the second principle, so that I'll get to in a minute. But in terms of, you know, knowing what your strengths are, it's actually, if you think about this, it's very, very logical. If you have a strength, you're probably pretty good at doing it. It comes to you naturally. Like I said, you find yourself doing it when nobody's watching. And if you find opportunities, strategic opportunities that fit your strength, you will be more productive. You will be more successful because you're enjoying what you're doing. An athlete is in that peak performance zone. And when they're out of that zone, they're not effective. So if we get to our strength zone, we need to think strategically about what kind of career opportunities and what kind of companies fit that job, right? So if you're not a, you know, if you're somebody that has a certain personality type, you may not be good in a government role where somebody else is perfect in that role because they're caring, they're loving, they want to take care of people. If you're one of these people that's too caring, if you work a highly competitive dog-eat-dog company, like places where I came from, you wouldn't survive. And you'd be very unhappy. You'd be stressed. At the end of the day, you'd go home and your jaws would hurt because you've been clenching your jaws all night, which is where women have a lot of their stress. If you wake up in the morning and your jaws hurt at the end of the day, you're not working in your strength zone. You're probably doing things that you're not very good at. I made the mistake a couple of, I would say, once taking a job that wasn't in my strength, and I was miserable. And eventually lasted in the job a year because that was kind of the requirement, and quickly applied for something that better fit my strength. So it's like you can't put a round peg in a square hole. It's crazy.
I'm visualizing the square peg in the round hole because that is. And it's like, and I think so many women don't see that they have an opportunity to like look for the next position before you need to leave the current one, right? Because there's really no loyalty among organizations anymore. But I want to shift because I know we've only got limited time. You know, for you and your passion, I know you are very much an advocate for women in leadership, but tell us a little bit about your passion and how did you go from Microsoft and then getting into being an author and focused on women's advancement and all that you do? It's like, where did you kind of find your passion to do what you're now doing? I mean, I think it's fascinating. What was your kind of journey?
Well, and actually it fits with the second principle around being able to stand up. So for me, and for any woman to be able to stand up, in addition to knowing what your strengths are, you need to have a strong personal vision to stand on. Absolutely critical. Otherwise, you'll continue to make mistakes in your life and look back and say, why didn't I do the things I was passionate about or what I want to do? So my personal vision that's been my guiding principle for over 20 years, and I've used it when I've made client decisions or job decisions, my personal vision is to make a difference and empower people to be the best they can be. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I'm speaking. That's why I do my radio show. It's called Women Kicking Glass on Orange County Talk Radio every Friday at 10 a.m. My personal vision is to make a difference and to empower people to be the best they can be, to reach their full potential. That's my leadership style. That's the jobs I do when I'm in my really passion and my strength. So I remember one time I took a client opportunity that I knew in my heart and in my soul, in my stomach, all the way down to my toenails, I was just taking this job for the money. I knew no matter what I did in this organization, the upper leadership was going to do nothing to change it, with a security company where all the top executives were either ex-CIA, ex-FBI, or ex-military intelligence. And there was no way they were going to change their behavior, and all they wanted me to do was come in and train their managers to be better and be happy and do some motivational rah-rah stuff. And I knew it was wrong. It was the project from hell. And I said, I will never do that again. Never do that again. So second principle, be strong, but be able to stand up and have that vision to stand on.
Don't you wish we could rewind time and go, what I know now versus what I know then? And it's like I would do things differently. And, you know, again, I know you're on the principles, but it's like if you could rewind time with your time at Microsoft and, you know, with your banking career, it's like, what would you, I mean, you know, you look back on it now, what would you do differently? that now know, you know, we know what we know now, because I know I could give you a list, but I'm curious what you would do differently if you look at your past career, now knowing what you know.
Well, number one, I would say enjoy the ride. That every day is an opportunity to learn something new. Every interaction is a topic to learn something new, and all the things aren't always good. So when something happens, enjoy the ride, but ask yourself a number of questions. When something goes poorly, ask yourself, what happened? Why did it happen? And what would I do differently next time? No blame, no, oh, poor me. You know, what did I do to contribute in this situation? But what happened? Why did it happen? And what would I do differently next time? And the same thing when something goes well. When you do this rockin' hard, wonderful, perfect presentation, or you go in and you do this amazing project, what happened? What did I, you know, why did it go well? And what would I do differently next time? What did I learn from, what would I do differently next time? And so use life as a learning lesson. You know, don't take life so seriously. I mean, have fun. You know, be an avid reader. In order to be visible, valuable, and vocal, you've got to be valuable first, which is develop mastery of something that you love, that fits your style, that fits your vision. Master something you love by taking classes, workshops, reading, go to the library, join great networking groups like your group. It's just amazing to meet other people. Ask somebody to coffee and say, I really admire you. I'd love to buy you a cup of coffee. Do you have 15 minutes where maybe I could learn something from you?
You know, but that's what's interesting is that I have to say, from my bank background, what I wish I would have done differently was I wish I would have opened, you know, because nobody wants to network, but everybody wants a network. And, you know, in my banking background, in my corporate career, it was like we always were told, you're contained, you're good, we have everything you need. And I'm like, oh, my God, I look at it now and go, there is a big world out there that I never had access to until I started a business. And I'd be like, every woman... You know, don't let the company culture and the company organization be the only place that you fuel your soul, right? It's like there's other things out there. And unless you're in business development, it seems that women just kind of stay contained within the organization. And I'm like, that's your network. You got to be interactive and involved in other places. So, I mean, I know you have an opinion on that one, but
what is your network, but what is your net worth? I mean, so you want to have that broader perspective of looking at things and be able to meet people and even volunteer work, right? Meet people that are completely different. Sometimes I would do this volunteer work when I lived in Seattle, and one of them one day was cleaning up the downtown streets of the city I lived in called Kirkland, Washington, just outside of Seattle. And we're sitting on the ground, you know, in overalls and picking trash up and, you know, picking weeds out of the ground. And somebody says, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for Microsoft. And they look at me like, they go like, really? You people do this kind of thing?
Aww. And you're like, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We give back.
You downright we do. But, yeah, so expanding that network and really getting out there and being visible and being vocal and being able to stand up for yourself. One of the things I always did is I kept a gratitude file. So I kept a file either on my computer and personally that every time somebody sent me an email where I did something well, I would copy it and put it in my gratitude file. Every time I did something well in the corporate world, I would take, you know, I would get an email that says, great, you did this project on budget, on time, blah, 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 blah. Or somebody sent me a funny cartoon. And when I got really down, I'd pull up my gratitude file and say, you know what? I can laugh at this, and I can learn from it, but I am pretty good because here's all these people that are telling me this. Also, when it came time to write that horrible performance appraisal that everybody hates, managers hate, employees hate, it's uncomfortable. Yep. I had a year's worth of data to support why I deserve that better review or better raise. And sometimes you just have to stand up for yourself. You know, we talk about being vocal. You know, be visible. If you're in a corporate environment and you go to one of those big meetings and there's a big conference table in the middle and a bunch of side chairs, get there 5 minutes early, take a seat at the table. If you sit on the sideline, you don't get heard. Research actually shows you don't get heard. People get heard are the ones that are at the table. So my other lesson was it's easier to ask forgiveness and permission So if you're at the table and somebody comes in and says, oh, that's reserved only for the certain people, the people that are in the meeting, so, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, and then just go take a seat at the side, and the next time take a seat at the table again. So it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
That is a motto to live by, isn't it? And, you know, we've only got 1 minute left, but I'm curious for you because, you know, so many of our listeners might want to go, Patty, I want to know more. Where can I reach you? How can I contact you? Can you share with our listeners how they can reach you if they want to get your book? I know it's available on Amazon, but if people have questions or they want to reach you, how would you suggest people contact you?
The book is on Amazon, Quiet Women Never Change History, Be Strong, Stand Up, Stand Out. And the subtitle is Let's Go Kick Some Glass. They can reach me at my email, which is pretty simple. It's pattygrimm@live.com, but that's pattygrimm@live.com. They can reach me that way, probably the easiest way to reach me at this point in time. Also, they can listen on my radio show on Orange County Talk Radio. It's Women Kicking Glass, 10 o'clock on Friday mornings, and you can contact me, like Michelle, if you want to be on the show, if you have ideas for the show. If you want to reach me for keynotes or webinars or whatever, it would be fun, Michelle, for you and I to do something together.
Heck yeah. Are you kidding me? I'm like saying yes. I'm asking, Patty. I love the cross-promotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the same token, leave us with something, you know, for all of our listeners. It's like, what's something, you know, just, I don't know, inspirational or one tip that you think, you know, every woman out there, it's like, you should do this. It's like, what would be the one thing? I love leaving my show with the one thing. What would that be in your opinion?
The one thing for me is control your own destiny. Control your own power, create your vision, and why would you give that power to anybody else?
Wow. I'm just going to soak in that for a minute because I'm like, that's pretty powerful. I'm going to share with you. You've been an amazing guest. It's like, I think you have so much to say, and to all of our listeners, go get Patty's book. I've been reading it. It is like, go kick some glass. I mean, that is a great phrase that we got to kind of all do. And to all of our listeners, thank you for listening. I want to share with you, we're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on Women Lead Radio, and we're here on Fridays at 2 p.m. I'm excited to say that Monday, our next show, we are actually interviewing, and I want you to dig this, because we are interviewing, and the topic title is The Pilot Method, The Five Elemental Truths to Leading Yourself in Life by Elizabeth McCormick. She will be our leading lady. And just so all of our listeners know, she is a Black Hawk pilot talking about Soar to Success. So I know all of you will be interested in that. Patty, you've been a delightful leading lady. We will see all of you on our next radio show, and have a great weekend. One of the things I always love to say is, be a woman that goes out there and supports other women and help the next one in line. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.